Hey, this is Swan.
And this is Chris.
And you're listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. Make sure if you're by a computer, you check out our website and check out what's going on in Brooklyn on Radio Free Brooklyn and lots of fun shows. This week I was inspired by a couple of things, I think, namely some puzzles we found. And then like one of my other ideas not really flourishing well, so we're like, oh, let's change it. I thought it would be fun to do playlists of books or plays, basically text turned to film, soundtrack favorites. And so I will introduce you to Chris, who is your DJ for this afternoon. And I would say this is a great mix if you're looking for something slow, something to study to, something to philosophize to.
Always good for that.
Yeah, so go ahead and our actually opening song was one of your picks. Do you want to go through the first four really fast?
Sure.
Just tell people what's coming, maybe?
Yeah, so the opening...
Or, would you rather tell people what's coming or after the fact do like a quick recap?
Yeah, we can do a quick recap.
Cool.
I like that. So the opening piece is called Soccer Field. The composer is Devant Hines. It's from the film Palo Alto, which came out a couple years ago. And it's the film is adapted from... a book of the same name. Is a series of short stories, and the author is can't say this without laughing, is James Franco.
Yeah, he writes books.
He does it all. And the book leaves something to desired, but the film is absolutely lovely, and partially that's because of this great soundtrack.
Zing.
right, so it was great hearing those three. That first piece was The Village from the film The Thin Red Line. It's composed by Hans Zimmer, and the director of the film is Terrence Malick, and it's from a James Jones book of the same name. The second piece was Packing for the Voyage, composed by Michael Brook for the film Brooklyn, which came out about a year and a half ago. And that film was adapted from a book of the same name by Colm Tóibín. I'm probably butchering his name, but close enough.
It's close. Yeah. You can Google it.
Yeah. And then the third one was Twilight and Shadow. It's composed by Howard Shore for The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, obviously based on the book of the same name by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Chris, if you had to tell the story of The Thin Red Line or the story you just shared with me, Twilight and Shadow, which one would you prefer to tell?
Ooh, that's tough. I'll go with The Village.
Ha ha!
And or by extension, The Thin Red Line. So The Thin Red Line, I mean, on paper, technically it's a World War II film. I mean, it's about the Guadalcanal campaign in the Pacific Theater. But because it's directed by Terrence Malick, it's not really about that. it's a lot more about, like man's, place in nature, and especially how like man's like wars and conflicts and their relationship to like the larger natural world. And to some extent they're almost irrelevant to the larger natural world. I had a professor in college who said that as far as like his favorite World War II film, he always said that Saving Private Ryan was his favorite in terms of plot, but The Thin Red Line was his favorite in terms of, feel. And I always thought that was a great summation of Thin Red Line. And this piece really sums it well, cause it's, this piece of village plays during, an American attack on a village held by Japanese soldiers, which is like pretty dramatic, right? But the music is not, doesn't really...
It's kind of out of sync.
Yeah, because it's very slow and melancholy. And so like instead of like a lot of war scenes, like, you know,
fast-paced drums.
Yeah, they sort of hype you up. And this doesn't at all. And if anything, it takes you out of the action and... removes you from it in a way that's a little eerie and also very reflective. So yeah.
Nice. Thanks for listening, by the way. This is Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn, and you can catch the podcast on our website and other shows at radiofreebrooklyn.com. And now into our next set.
All right. Okay, so that was our second set. So that first piece, I'm sure many of you have heard, that's a theme from Schindler's List, composed by John Williams. Schindler's List is directed by Steven Spielberg, and it was adapted from a nonfiction book by Thomas Kenealy.
Kenealy.
Yeah, sorry, Thomas.
Sorry.
We do our best here. The second piece was The Middle of the World, composed by Nicholas Britell for Moonlight, which won Best Picture.
Yeah, don't know if you've heard about it, but word on the street is it's pretty monumental.
Yeah.
And great.
Yeah, we love it here. And Moonlight was adapted from a play.
In Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue by Terrell Alvin McCraney.
Yeah. And then the third piece was the end titles to Blade Runner, composed by Vangelis. Blade Runner itself is directed by Ridley Scott, and it's an adaptation of a Philip K. Dick book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Would you recommend? I've never read any Philip K. Dick.
Oh.
Is this a good book to start? Or is he worth checking out?
I think he's worth checking out. I really love him. He's...
You wouldn't start with this?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any book of his that I would start with. I think it's probably one of the more accessible. But all his books are very... They're not easy reads.
You gotta work for it.
Yeah. And they'll definitely be confusing and difficult. And but they'll take you by leaps and bounds in all sorts of directions. So I would highly recommend.
Nice. Well, we're picking things up a little bit in these next three, so we hope you enjoy.
Thank you. All right, so that was our third set. First one, I mean, imagine everyone would recognize.
What is that from?
Oh, Hedwig's.
If you, yeah. If you don't know what that is, I kind of want to talk to you.
Yeah, we want to get your story. So yeah, it was Hedwig's theme, composed by John Williams for Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone, obviously adapted from book of the same name by J.K. Rowling. The second one was The Wicked Flea, composed by Carter Burwell for the 2010 adaptation of True Grit, directed by the Coen brothers. And that's adapted by a book of the same name by Charles Portis, which I would highly recommend.
I was going to ask, because we both liked the latest adaptation of the film. And so I was curious if the book held up to that. Because sometimes if you watch the movie first, then you're like expecting different things from the book.
Yeah, I would say the second adaptation, because there was a 1969 one with John Wayne, this more recent one is definitely more faithful to the book in terms of tone. And a bit, you know, kind of light, so almost a satirical bent to Western. I would say, if anything, the book is funnier. And Charles Portis in general, I would highly recommend. He's a really funny writer, and his works are relatively well known, but I feel like as of late they've kind of gone under the radar and they could use some new reappreciation. So yeah, I would highly recommend anything written by him.
Swell. Always things adding on. Like, I envision all these books just constantly being tacked on to my to-read list.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like exposure just to, I don't know. There's never, yeah.
We'll never finish.
Never ends. But all the books that you should read, apparently this should maybe bump up to the top of your list. Looks like we're moving into our last set.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so those last two songs, that first one was We Love You So, composed by Carter Burwell for Where the Wild Things Are, just directed by Spike Jonze. And it was adapted, obviously, by Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak.
So good. Yeah.
And then that second piece was The Wings, composed by Gustavo Santaolalla. For Brokeback Mountain, which is adapted from a short story also called Brokeback Mountain by
she has a last name. You can look it up.
Yeah.
The letters are. Well, first I want to give a shout out to Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks for hosting the show. You've been listening to Ink and Worm. If you liked the tunes, you can always catch the podcast, share it with your friends, help it motivate you to finish finals strong or whatever in the world is happening.
All sorts of things.
All sorts of things. And I also like, I'm so happy you put something by Where the Wild Things Are, because that's just so delightful in all of its forms.
Do you like the film?
I do. Yeah. It would have taken a lot for me not to like it, probably.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, it's a great adaptation in the sense that I feel like it takes the original text, in this case, you know, like a children's book.
Yeah, very short, not a lot to go off of.
Yeah, and totally like builds on it and expands out on it in a way that like feels faithful to the book, but also feels like a wholly
separate entity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did want to ask if you had any thoughts about turning text into sound. So like, I guess the finest example is just like Hedwig's theme, best-selling books, best-selling movies. Just like, that's so iconic. And we're going to end with another iconic song, but just like, what do you think about taking the tone of a book and trying to like put it to sound? Because you listen to soundtracks for movies you love.
Yeah.
Like Moonlight, that's all you listen to.
I listen to La La Land too.
Of course. But we're not talking about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would be curious to know in a lot of these cases whether composers for these films ever actually read the books. So I think they don't.
Or they just
don't
get like some buzzwords.
Yeah, I think they mostly work from the directors when it comes to composing these, which is funny because a lot of times I feel like they actually do fit the tone of the books really well. Like, I mean, to give
I guess that's why the director is the director. He's really good at directing.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, like Hedwig's theme, I feel like if you had never seen any of the films, but someone was like, oh, this is supposed to sort of like sum up the feel of the first book,
you'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would feel like, yeah, this encapsulates it perfectly. And I think the only time that film soundtracks don't capture the original text, it's because the film adaptation like dramatically altered the tone.
Mm-hmm.
So to give one example, like The Thin Red Line, the novel is a much more like straightforward telling about a World War II campaign.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we talked about earlier, the adaptation is completely different. So that piece we listened to, The Village, like, that definitely fits the film. But if you're like, oh, yeah, try it. Like, does this fit James Jones' book? Like, no way.
Mm-hmm. Interessant.
Yeah. So, but yeah, for the most part, I feel like if the film has a similar tone to the book, then the soundtracks definitely match.
Well, appropriately, we're going to end with your favorite. Thanks for being our DJ guide through some great tunes.
Tunes? Yeah, you could say tunes.
Through some great bookish cinema tunes. yeah, so last song is?
It's the main theme from Jaws, composed by John Williams. Film's directed by Steven Spielberg, and it's adapted from a book by Peter Benchley.
That's not really worth reading.
Yeah, it's so bad.
So just listen.
Yeah, just listen and enjoy.
As always, thanks for listening, and I'll leave you with a word, take it or leave it. Hubris.